heavenly chorus, save us by your grace, that we, like saints before us, may see you face to face.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel, and also the account from John, the ending of this account. Listen carefully. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as I look out at all of you, most of you are pretty young, some of you are teenagers, and the majority of the rest of you, like the young people here, you take a lot of things for granted, unless, of course, you're getting old and decrepit like me. The first thing that you take for granted is this. As I look at over you, very few of you that I see look all skin and bones, which gives me the idea that you think that you're always going to have plenty to eat. Secondly, as most of you are, young and strong, you count on having healthy bodies for the next several decades of your life. And thirdly, because you have had patriotic songs drilled into you about the true North, strong and free, if you live in Canada, or about the land of the free, Star-Spangled Banner, you assume that you are going to enjoy full political and civil liberty for the rest of your earthly lives. Don't be too sure about any of those three things, brothers and sisters. This summer, most of North America, and we are enduring it, we are enduring the worst drought in 50 years, with the result that unless the ground soon, and I mean soon, and you know it, receives lots of cool, refreshing rain, food prices will skyrocket this fall, which will be a big problem for the poor and perhaps for all of us sitting here. It is not out of the question that you, this generation, and you young people who've had everything under the sun may experience real famine and know for the first time in your life what real hunger is all about. When I was at St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada this week, I learned that the seminary's oldest professor just had a serious heart attack while he was in Germany. And if that wasn't enough, when he returns back to Canada, he's going to need a hip replacement very soon. Now, you all know that's going to be a tall order, because in Canada there are long waiting lists for operations like that. And so whether you live in Canada or here in the United States, there are big deficiencies in our healthcare systems. And of course, we all know that this has become one of the biggest issues in our country with the Supreme Court ruling on the healthcare law earlier this month. And as for freedom, good grief, do not forget that during the 20th century, most people on the face of the earth lived under some kind of tyranny or another. You remember? I think you do. Germany's Third Reich, and the Holocaust of millions of Jews and other ethnic groups. Mussolini coming strutting out in front of everybody for the media to see without his shirt on, and his fascism. Stalin's communist utopia that murdered people by the millions. Pol Pot's killing fields. Idi Amin, oh, I remember Idi Amin when I was growing up, his murderous rampages in Uganda. Brothers and sisters, there is no guarantee. Are you listening? There is no guarantee that constitutional representative government is going to continue indefinitely in the United States. And I tell you that there are many indications that it will not. Some of you may very well soon, someday, live under a dictator. Now, the three problems that I've just listed are not new to the modern world. All three of these problems were big issues for the people who lived in the ancient world and the Jewish crowds that thronged to our Lord on a Galilean hillside. The Jewish crowds that flocked to Jesus were very familiar with the three problems I just rehearsed with you. They wanted freedom from Roman occupation. They were weary of falling ill with no system of medical care to fall back on. And hunger and famine were frequent specters in their life. Many times they went to bed at night with nothing to eat. In fact, all day and weeks, nothing to eat. And in times of crisis, the crowds look for a deliverer. In times of trouble, and we do live in troubled times, people long for a strong man. They yearn for a wonder worker. Now, those of you who are still in school, or those of you who are just out, or even if you've been out for a long time, if you've learned any history at school, and really I don't think you have, you would remember that not just almost 100 years ago, Russia fell under the spell and the bewitchment of Lenin and communism, and how Germany fell under the spell and bewitchment of Hitler and Nazism. Do not think that things like that cannot happen here. I tell you, it absolutely can. And the Hitlers and the Lenins and the Stalins of the 21st century are going to be all the more dangerous because they will approach their victims with a smile on their face. And they will lure many souls into their trap as they sing patriotic verses and quote the founding fathers. Now, those Jews on the Galilean hillside that we heard in the text were a few steps above the deluded masses of recent times. They were looking for more than just a tin pot dictator to get them out of a tight corner. They were expecting the Messiah promised by God, the deliverer, who would bring about the new age to come. And so, when Jesus spoke as he did, when he healed all kinds of diseases, and when he supernaturally, as we heard in the text, produced copious amounts of food, they put two and two together, made four, and they rightly concluded that this Jesus was the fulfillment of just about the greatest prophecy that Moses ever made. Do you remember what Moses said right before he died? He declared, and I paraphrase from Deuteronomy 18, "The Lord will raise up a prophet like me, but more than me. A prophet with an even closer relationship to God, a deliverer who will leave the Exodus in the dust." Those Jews of whom we heard in the text, those who got it right, so very, very right, yet also got it very, very wrong. Because as I read to you from John 6, Jesus had to quickly withdraw from them. He had to escape. He had to make a mysteriously quick getaway up the hillside when they decided that they would force him to be their bread king. You see, they would have him reign with their approval, and they would have him govern according to their agenda. But that could never be, because Jesus is king by the will of God. He is the original king by the grace of God. He doesn't need the support of anyone's majority vote. His preaching and all that he does is given him by the Father. Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the answer to every problem. Are you listening? Jesus is the answer to every problem and every question that you have, and you who will ever have. If you know and believe that Jesus is the true King seated at the right hand of the Father, then the Lenins and the Stalins and the Hitlers and the Pol Pots of the 21st century will never able be ultimately to enslave you. Though I tell you, they will do you a great deal of harm. Because Jesus is the true King, he can never sign off on any man-made agenda, whether it be the desire of these first century Jews of whom we heard for national liberation, or any set of goals or aspirations that you or I could devise in our hearts. Now I know, because we talk, I visit, and things happen. I know that many of you have deep, deep down problems. And you are painfully aware of them, and some of them I know of. Some of you may have already experienced what a terrible tyrant sin is in human lives. And perhaps you long for true freedom, for liberty, to do and to think as you know you should. Maybe you hunger and thirst for food and drink that satisfies your soul and that will make you whole. Perhaps there are things going on in your souls, and yes, even in your bodies, that cry out for healing. And so I tell you, when Jesus comes to us today in his special sacramental way in the divine service, when through the pastor's lips he speaks his divine, almighty, heavenly, and holy words from the upper room over bread and wine, making them to be his body and blood, realize, brothers and sisters, that he is taking his throne on the altar, and he is coming to you as king. And so you can bring your troubles, you can bring your longings and your prayers and your petitions to him, and you are given to receive his body and blood as your spiritual meat and drink, as the manna that will sustain you through those wilderness wanderings of the 21st century. And marvel, brothers and sisters, marvel that although the tyrants of the 20th century are dead and gone, and although the tyrants of the 21st century will enjoy only a brief season, the humble King, Jesus, who sat on a Galilean hillside, still reigns at the right hand of the Father, and that he will return in glory at the close of the age to rescue you and his church. In the name of Jesus, amen.